Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari, Gopi Jana Pallabha, Jaya Kiri Badu Nahuri, Jaya Kiri Badu Nahuri, Gopi Jana Pallabha, Jaya Kiri Badu Nahuri, Jaya Kiri Badu Nahuri, Yashoda Nandana, Jaya Praja Jana Ranjana, Yasoda Nandana, Jaya Praja Jana Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Madhacharina, Kunja Vihari, Jaya Kunja Vihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari, Vichana Parapa, Vidi Vado
Jai Om Vishnu Pad.
Paramahamsa Parvatacharya also Tena Sadhichi Shiva is divine grace. Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Vijay.
ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Vijay. Ananta Goti Vaishnava Vrindigajay. Namacharya Shadavidas Thakur Gajari Prem Seiko Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gajari Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopika Patnath Shyam Kund Radhakunda Kiri Govardhan Gajari Vrindavan Gajari Maturanam Gajari Jagannathaswami Gajari Yamunamai Gajari Shrimati Lasi Devi Gajai, Samaveda Bhakta Varindi Gajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories. Tushi Guru Ngauranga Srila Prabhupada Gajai Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakta Padanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pacharane. Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarane. So, all glories to Prabhupada. So, Omegana Timidandasha Ganandana Shirakaya Chakshuram Niditam Yenitas Mai Shigurvena Maha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're all blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So on that happy note, we're going to continue with our study of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So we just finished a large section of Majja 4 in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was describing the glories of Madhavendra Puri, who found Gopal near Govardhan Hill, installed Gopal on top of Govardhan Hill, served Gopal, initiated Brahmanas to serve Gopal. Then he was sent by Gopal to get Sandalwood Pulp, so he went to Jagannath Puri. On the way to Jagannath Puri, he stopped in Rimuna, where is the Shira Chora Gopinath. He got a chance to have some Shira, that means condensed milk, stolen for him by the deity, so he could figure out how to make that same preparation for his deity, that is Gopal. And then he went further to Jagannath Puri to get the sandalwood. He got the sandalwood, went back with the sandalwood to Rimuna, where Shira Chora Gopinath was, and then he got the directions from his deity Gopal in a dream to offer the sandalwood to Shira Chora Gopinath, because there is no difference between Shira Chora Gopinath and Gopal. And in this way, he served Shira Chora Gopinath and Gopal simultaneously. So we just finished that narration, and we're going to continue with this particular chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Prabhu Kahe Nityananda Karaha Vichara Puri Sama Bhagyavan Jagate Nahi Ara. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Nityananda Prabhu to judge whether there was anyone within the world as fortunate as Madhavendra Puri. Dugda Dana Chale Krishna Yandre Dekha Dila Tina Bare Swapne Asi Yandre Na Kohila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said Madhavendra Puri was so fortunate that Krishna personally appeared before him on the plea of delivering milk. Three times the Lord gave orders to Madhavendra Puri in dreams. Of course, the first time was after Madhavendra Puri got the milk from Gopal or Krishna to install him on Govardhan Hill. To find him, of course, in the bushes and install him on Govardhan Hill. That was the first time he had a dream. Second dream he had was the dream where Gopal said, go get some sandalwood, Pope, in Jagannath Puri for me because I am very hot being hidden in the bushes for a long period of time. And the third dream he had was to offer that sandalwood to Gopinath or Shirachari Gopinath and Ramuna to save Madhavendra Puri from walking all the way across India with that sandalwood. So those are the three orders he got from Lord Gopal. Or Krishna, non-different. Yanura preme vashahanya prakata haila sevangi karakari jagatak tarila. Being obliged because of the loving affairs of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Krishna himself appeared as the Gopal deity, and accepting his service, he liberated the whole world. Yandra lagi Gopinatha shira kaila churi ataiva nama haila shira chora kari. On account of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Gopinath stole the pot of sweet rice, thus he became famous as shira chora, the thief who stole the sweet rice. And that's because Madhavendra Puri didn't want to ask for any sweet rice because he really wanted to find out how the sweet rice tasted so he could make the same preparation for his Gopal. But when he was thinking like that, it was before the offering. So he became very embarrassed and actually went to the marketplace, not wanting to be there when they made the offering or taking even the remnants of the offering. However, the deity Gopinath had a plan, and the deity Gopinath took one of the containers of sweet rice and hid it under his skirt, and the deity informed his pujari in the middle of the night that I've hidden the sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri. Please find him, he's in the marketplace. And so the deity is known as he who stole the sweet rice for his devotee, which means shira chora, stealing sweet rice, the person who steals sweet rice. Chora is actually an insult. If you call someone a chora in India, that means they're a thief, rascal, and stuff like that. So Krishna is the greatest thief, the greatest rascal. Karipura chandane anra ange chadaila anande pura goshanira prema vitailila. Madhavendra Puri smeared the sandalwood pulp over the body of Gopinath, and this way he was overpowered with love of Godhead. So in other words, on the way back to see Gopal, he stopped in Ramuna again, which we mentioned before, and Gopal informed them that offer the sandalwood to Gopinath rather than to me, because we're both the same person anyway, and this will cool me down. Malecha deshe karpura chandana anite jangjala Puri Duka Pabeha Janiya Gopala. In the provinces of India governed by the Muslims, there was much inconvenience in traveling with sandalwood and camphor. Because of this, Madhavendra Puri might have gotten into trouble. This became known to the Gopal deity. Mahodaya Maya Prabhu Bhakta Vatsala Chandana Puri Bhakta Shramakarila Sapala. The Lord is very merciful and attached to his devotees. So when Gopinath was covered with sandalwood pulp, Madhavendra Puri's labor became successful. Purira prema parakashta karaha vichara alokika prema chite lage chamatkara. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed the standard of Madhavendra Puri's intense love before Nityananda Prabhu for judgment. All his loving activities are uncommon. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Indeed, one is struck with wonder to hear of his activities." Purport. When the living entity feels spiritual separation from Krishna, that is Krishna Viroha, he has achieved the prime success of life. When one becomes distressed in material things, he is simply experiencing the other side of attraction for material things. So in other words, it's a perverted reflection, because we really want material things, and that's the reflection of really wanting Krishna, or the perverted reflection of really wanting Krishna. Just like the devotees pray, just like a young girl or young boy feels spontaneously attracted to each other, in the same way we pray that we may feel spontaneously attracted to Radha and Krishna. No one has to teach the young boy and the young girl how to be attracted. It's natural. It's part of their nature. However, one thing you should understand is that it may not manifest when they're little kids. Why? Because they're not yet mature. So if you put a little kid, you know, a five-year-old boy, a five-year-old girl, and they look at each other, it's not going to be love, unless it happens to be Radha and Krishna, which is completely off the mundane bodily platform. Definitely they won't fall in love. Just like I remember, I don't know if I should talk about this, but one time when I was about 7 years old, they put me on a stage with the little girl, who was also 7 years old. It was a play. We had to walk arm in arm on the stage in front of our parents, and the parents were thinking, oh, how cute. Don't they look like a good couple? But actually, there's no feeling. You're 6 or 7 years old. You're just like, what's this? You know, you don't know the difference between boys and girls, basically. So, but as one gets older, then one's natural attraction develops. So in the same way, using a metaphor here, in the same way, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, who's that Krishna? All right. He's all right. He looks pretty good, but, you know, whatever. But as one matures, then you fall in love with Krishna. You have to mature in Krishna consciousness, or as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Chaito Darpana Marjanam Bhavam Hadvakmi Nirvapanam. You have to cleanse your heart, or cleanse the mirror of the heart, and then you see things the way they are. Like sometimes, here's another example for you, sometimes you may be in the bathroom and you are not taking a cold shower, you are taking a hot shower, and you leave the water running. I'm not referring to myself, because I would never do that. That's not true. Anyway, you leave the water running and it fogs up the whole room. So later on you go in front of the mirror on the wall, who is the best looking sannyasi of them all? Anyway, you go to look at the reflection in the mirror, and you can't see anything. It's very frustrating. You know, you want to see, you know, what do I look like? I just took a shower. Got to comb my sika. Comb the hair on my bald head. So anyway, so you can't see. You can't even see yourself. So there has to be the cleansing of the mirror in the bathroom instead of the mirror in the heart. And you take a little cloth, sometimes you wet down the cloth a little bit, and just wipe down the mirror, and wow, that's what I look like. Isn't that cool? So in the same way, when the mirror of the heart is dirty, then all you're seeing is the fog. Really, that's true. Like if a young girl looks at a young boy, or vice versa, or whatever, you're just seeing the fog. You're not actually even seeing the person. You may think, oh, I'm in love, or I'm in lust, or whatever. But you cannot see them because they're hidden by the body. They're covered by the body. So you can't see the soul. But still, that's the covering. So you uncover your heart, or the mirror of the heart, and then you can actually see people, you can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, we're talking about perverted reflections right now. So if one is Krishna conscious, then the intensity or volume or hankering we have for material objects or material persons or whatever becomes transformed into hankering for Krishna. I must have Krishna. As we mentioned yesterday, and actually I think the day before too, if I remember correctly, when we're asked about the question of chanting intently, or with great devotion, intensely, that is, but we say we have to want Krishna. What do you want? Of course, if you have some other want, then also approach Krishna. We quoted that verse from the Bhagavatam, Akama, Sarvakama, Moksha Kama, Udarati, Tivrena Bhakti, Yogena Yajeta, Purasham Param. But it has to be desire. Krishna Viraha. That's interesting. It's not Krishna Viraha, which means Krishna the boar. Krishna, the boar, you know, like a boar with tusks on him. It's Krishna Viraha. Viraha means separation from Krishna. Krishna Virahena me, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. However, feeling separation from Krishna and engaging in the service of the Lord to fulfill his mission constitute the best example of love of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to point out this intense love of Krishna exhibited by Madhavendra Puri. All Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees later followed in the footsteps of Madhavendra Puri, serving the Lord without personal considerations. Amazing, amazing. And of course, Lord Nityananda knew about all this because he had met Madhavendra Puri and spent a few days with Madhavendra Puri. Paramavirata moni sarvatrudasina brahmivartabhaye dvithiya sangahina. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Sri Madhavendra Puri used to remain alone. He was completely renounced and always very silent. He was uninterested in everything material, and for fear of talking about mundane things, he always lived without a companion. Wow. That's pretty austere. So let me tell a story from the Bhagavatam that illustrates how if you live without anyone else, there's no chance of prajalpa unless you've got a computer and a mobile phone, or if you talk to yourself. So here's the story. Once upon a time, there was a girl, and she wanted to get a good husband. So really, you know, eligible men would come to her house sometimes, and she basically wanted to impress them. And one way of impressing people is to show them that you have servants. You know, because in India, having servants is considered very important. You don't have a servant, you are a servant. So anyway, basically, she wanted to impress these young men who came. So one time, a group of young men came. It was not a Swayamvara, but they came to the house, okay. And she thought, I have to entertain them. So she went in the kitchen to actually cook something for these young men. But what happened, oh my God, because this would have let the young men know that she didn't have a servant, there was the jingle and jangle from her bangles. That jingle and jangle from the bangle. Anyway, there was the jingle and jangle from the bangle. Sorry, I had to repeat that. There was jingle. I know I repeated it a million times. So anyway, the bangles were jangling. How's that? Or jingling. Or whatever. They were making crash, crash, crash. Because, you know, ladies in India, sometimes they got a whole bunch of bangles. If you go to a holy place, like I know, you go around Govardhan Hill and there's all these tables with bangles on them. I don't know why someone would wear bangles. You know, it just seems like, to me, it seems like a botheration. Bangles and toe rings and painted toes. and painted nose and painted eyebrows. Seriously. And tongue rings. All right, so anyway. So, apart from that, the bangles were jangling. And she was wondering, how can I stop these bangles from jangling? So she took some off of each arm. Actually, it's pretty good if you have bangles during kirtan, because then you can actually lead your kirtan without a tambourine. You are a tambourine. So anyway, so she took the bangles off, one by one, each arm, until there was only one on each arm. And there was no more jangling at that point. And so the men were thinking, oh, she must have a servant. And of course, when she walked in to see the men again, she hurriedly put the bangles back on her arm. So the moral of the story is, it takes two to jangle, or to tangle, or to prachapa. And I experienced that too. Like, I just came back from a trip to the East Coast of the United States. No, short, real short trip. It's only 7 hours. You know, it's like around the corner. So anyway, took the trip and didn't have any servant. And it was very relaxing. Nobody to jangle with. You know, took out some books. Chanted a little bit, took a little prasadam, very, very peaceful, because no jangles to bangle. So that's what the point is. Because sometimes people ask me, why don't you travel with a servant? I said, well, what am I going to travel with a servant for? Am I so decrepit that I can't lift my bag? Am I so decrepit that I can't figure out where my passport is? What happens if you have a servant, you end up taking care of him, worried about him, because usually they're pretty spaced. So, anyway, getting back to the point, let's talk about Madhavendrapuri. Hena jana kopalera agyamrita palna sahasrakrusha hasipule chandana maginka. After receiving the transcendental lordess of Gopal, this great personality traveled thousands of miles just to collect sandalwood by begging. In other words, he received the order when he was in Braj, right next to Govardhan Hill, and he traveled all the way across Braj, which means basically the distance between Delhi and Calcutta. That's all the way across the country, just to get sandalwood. And not just Delhi and Calcutta, Delhi and Jagannath Puri. Sorry about that. That's even further, because you have to go, usually you go through Calcutta or you go through Ramuna. It's a long trip. Mokdevrahe, yeah, thousands of miles. Just to get sandalwood for his deities. And he couldn't take a train or a plane or a bus or a car. He walked. And he had to walk through jungles, as they say in India, jungle. He had to walk through jungles in which there were wild tigers, especially in the Jharkhand section in Bihar. There were jungles, literally it was real jungles. That's before there was so much population. So there are tigers. I don't know if anyone's ever seen a Bengali tiger. I have. They're as big as a cow. Really big, and they can easily eat you for dinner and eat someone else for dessert after that. So there were tigers there and big snakes and all sorts of creatures. So he risked his life just to get sandalwood. That's devotion. Mokde rahe tabuana maginya na koya hena jana chandana para. Although Madhavendrapuri was hungry, he would not beg food to eat. This renounced person carried a load of sandalwood for the sake of Sri Gopal. So when he got that sandalwood in Jagannathpur, he was going to walk all the way back across the country. And of course, Gopal, in the form of Gopinath, saved him from that. Maneka chandana tola viksheka karpura Gopale paraiva he ananda prachura. Without considering his personal comfort, Madhavendra Puri carried one mound, about 82 pounds of sandalwood and 20 tolas, about 8 ounces of camphor, to smear over the body of Gopal. This transcendental pleasure was sufficient for him. Can you imagine? That's a lot of weight. Of course, he had servants helping him too, but it's still, it's a big responsibility. That's a lot of sandalwood. 82 pounds of sandalwood. Wow. Ukalera dani rake chandana deginya tahani daila raja patra de kanta. Since there were restrictions against taking the sandalwood out of the Orissa province, the toll official, Orissa province is where Jagannath Puri is, the toll official confiscated the stock, but Madhavendra Puri showed him the release papers given by the government and consequently escaped difficulties. Malachadesha durapata jagati apara kemate chandana nipa nahiye vichara. Madhavendra Puri was not at all anxious during the long journey to Vrindavan through the provinces governed by the Muslims and filled with unlimited numbers of watchmen. So, of course, Lord Chaitanya here is just, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is just reiterating what we read about in greater depth earlier in this particular chapter. And if you're interested in hearing the chapter again, it's chapter 4. And actually, all the narrations are there on my YouTube channel, Veer Krishna Goswami. Just look it up. It's in the chapter on Majalila. Sange ekavata nahi gati dana dite tatapi utsaha vada chandana lana hoyete. Although Madhavendra Puri did not have a farthing with him, he was not afraid to pass by the toll collectors, toll officers. His only enjoyment was in carrying the lotus sandalwood to Vrindavana for Gopal. Wow. His only enjoyment, because he was in love with Krishna. It's just like if someone goes shopping and they buy a crystal, was that Swarovski, crystal for their wife. And they just spent so much money, $5,000 for a crystal necklace or whatever. I don't know how much because I never did it. And if they spend money and they may be paying that off for the next 5 years or 10 years, but it just gives them joy to present it to their beloved. So even the greatest austerity becomes joyful if one is doing it out of love. And if one is doing it simply out of duty, it's tolerable. But if one doesn't have a higher purpose, love, as they say, makes the world go round. But anyway, if one is doing something out of devotion, let's use the word devotion, because this word love is oftentimes bandied about, and oftentimes it is synonymous with L-U-S-T, or lusty. So, if one has done something out of love, simply thinking of pleasing the other person, not bribing the other person, but pleasing the other person, then whatever austerity one is executing will be done joyfully and voluntarily. So that's why Krishna consciousness is joyfully performed. And that's why I say you shouldn't do anything unless it's joyful, happy, blissful, and you're having a good time. Pragada premera he subhavat achara nijaduka vignadira nakari vichara. This is the natural result of intense love of God. The devotee does not consider personal inconveniences or impediments. In all circumstances, he wants to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is natural for those who have developed intense love for Krishna not to care for personal inconvenience and impediments. Such devotees are simply determined to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative, the spiritual master. In all circumstances, even amidst the greatest dangers, they deviatingly carry on with the greatest determination. Of course, we see the perfect example of that is Prabhupada coming to America when he was over 70 years of age. Amazing. In fact, he even celebrated his appearance day on the boat. Abhaya sattva samsudhi jnana yoga babastitihi. This definitely proves the intense love of the servitor. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, tante nukampam susamikshamanaha. Those who seriously desire to get free from the clutches of material existence, who have developed intense love for Krishna, are worthy candidates for going back home, back to Godhead. An intense lover of Krishna does not care for any number of material discomforts, scarcity, impediments, or unhappiness. It is said that when one sees... apparent unhappiness or distress in a perfect Vaishnava, it is not at all unhappiness for him. It is transcendental bliss. In the Shikshashtika, number 8, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also instructed, Asli Shiva Pada Ratam Panashtu Mam. That's from the Anchalila 20th chapter, text 47. The intense lover of Krishna is never deviated from his service despite all difficulties and impediments brought before him. Wow. Pure devotional service. Etadagari prema loke de kaite gopala tanrayagna dilachandananite. Sri Gopal wanted to show how intensely Madhavendra Puri loved Krishna. Therefore, he asked him to go to Nilachal to fetch sandalwood and camphor. So why does Krishna test his devotees? Not because he doesn't understand their love. He understands whether they will pass the test or not. The reason he tests his pure devotees, like Srila Prabhupada, like Madhavendra Puri, like any of Krishna's pure devotees, is to glorify them. The reason he tested Arjuna was to glorify him. If Arjuna had not been under the influence of Yogamaya, apparently acting like a conditioned soul, then what would be the glorification? Like if Arjuna just like said, yeah, Krishna, you're God, let's take it away, let's do everything, you know, I'm not really worried, you know. Then it wouldn't be so exciting, the battle of Kurukshetra. But Krishna actually puts his devotees under Yogamaya, so they act like ordinary persons, or even think, or we forget who they are ontologically. They forget. That is the influence of Yogamaya. Bahu Varishyame Chandana Remuna Hanila Ananda Vadhila Mane Tukana Kanila. With great trouble and after much labor, Madhavendra Puri brought the lotus sandalwood to Remuna, that's where Sri Chara Gopinath is. However, he was still very pleased. He discounted all the difficulties. Koriksha karite gopala kaila adnadana Koriksha kaila shayse kaila dayavan. To test the intense love of Madhavendra Puri Gopal, the Supreme Personality of Godhead ordered him to bring sandalwood from Nilachal, and when Madhavendra Puri passed this examination, the Lord became very merciful to him. Ei bhakti bhakta priya Krishna vyavahara Pujiteo amasavara nahi adhikara. Such behavior exhibited in loving service between the devotee and the devotee's lovable object, Sri Krishna, is transcendental. It is not possible for any common man to understand. Common men do not even have the capacity. I was just thinking that if Madhavendra Puri had not obtained the stolen sweet rice from Gopal, then his reputation would not have reached Jagannath Puri. Madhavendra Puri, Jagannath Puri, would not have reached Jagannath Puri, and he would not have been able to get the sandalwood pulp because no one would know him. But because he had an outstanding reputation, well known, and actually was proof of his pure devotee status, that's proof of it, therefore, in Jagannath Puri, they were quite willing to give him the sandalwood and camphor. Etabali pade prabhu tanra krita shloka ye shloka chandre jagata karyache aloka. After saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the famous verse of Madhavendra Puri. This verse is just like the moon. It has spread illumination all over the world. Wow. Gashite gashite aiche malaya jasara gandhavare taiche shlokera vichara. Continuous rubbing increases the aroma of malaya sandalwood. Similarly, consideration of this verse increases one's understanding of its importance. Ratna gana mati aiche kostuba mati rasa kavya maje taiche shloka gani. As this kostuba mani is considered the most precious of valuable stones, this verse is similarly considered the best of poems dealing with the mellows of devotional service. Hey shloka kahiya chena radha takurani tanra kripaya puriyache madhavendra vani. Actually, this verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani herself, and by her mercy only was it manifest in the words of Madhavendra Puri. Kiba gorachandra hiha kari asvadana hiha svaditeara nahi chyota jana. Only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has tasted the poetry of this verse. No fourth man is capable of understanding it. This indicates that only Srimati Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are capable of understanding the purport of this verse. Wow. Shesha kale e shloka pratite potite. Sorry. Shesha kale shloka patite patite siddhi prapti haela purira shlokera sahite. Madhavendra Puri recited this verse again and again at the end of his material existence. Thus uttering this verse, he attained the ultimate goal of life. So here it is. Hai dinadayardra natha hai madhura natha kadava lokshase hridayam twadaloka kataram dayata bramyati kim karom yaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved, what shall I do now? The uncontaminated devotees who strictly depend on the Vedanta philosophy are divided into four sampradayas or transcendental parties. One out of the four sampradayas, Sri Madhvacharya sampradaya was accepted by Madhavendra Puri. Thus he took sannyas according to parampara, the disciple of succession. Beginning from Madhvacharya down to the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri, the acharya named Lakshmipati, there was no realization of devotional service in conjugal love. Sri Madhavendra Puri introduced the conception of conjugal love for the first time in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. And this conclusion of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured southern India and met the Tattvabadis, who supposedly belonged to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. When Sri Krishna left Vrindavan and accepted the kingdom of Mathura, Srimati Radharani, out of intense feelings of separation, expressed how Krishna can be loved in separation. Thus, devotional service in separation is central to this verse. Worship in separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Thus, he addresses the Lord as Dina Dayardhra, Natha, as did Madhavendra Puri. Such an ecstatic feeling, the Lord of the fallen, merciful Lord of the fallen. Such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service. Because Krishna had gone to Mathura, Srimati Radharani was very much affected, and she expressed herself thus: "My dear Lord, because of your separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Now tell me, what can I do? I am very poor, and you are very merciful, so kindly have compassion upon me, and let me know when I shall see you." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always expressing the ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani that she exhibited when she saw Uddhava at Vrindavana. Similar feelings experienced by Madhavendra Puri are expressed in this verse. Therefore, Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya say that the ecstatic feelings experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Sri Madhavendra Puri through Ishwara Puri. All these devotees in the line of Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya accept these principles of devotional service. Okay, very nice. So 171 to 198 today. And probably tomorrow we'll finish up the chapter 198. Okay, so we can stop sharing, and then we can take questions from our wonderful participants. Hold on one second when I unmute you. Okay, you are all officially unmuted. So who has a question who doesn't ordinarily ask questions? So ordinarily we got a lot of questions from Pran Govinda, Rakesh. So who wants to ask a question who doesn't ordinarily ask questions today?
I can ask a question if it pleases you.
Well, we'll see if it pleases me.
So yesterday you were talking about intensity of chanting, but you were saying, don't attack Krishna with your chanting. And you really emphasized it. You like really got on that point for a short bit, but it seemed like there wasn't really enough time to develop it because you then had to leave very soon after from the airport. And so I'm wondering if you'd be willing to speak about that. Don't attack Krishna with your chanting.
Yeah, don't attack. All right, let me talk about it. Hey, it looks like someone's driving a Tesla. It's amazing. I can tell what car they're driving just by seeing the ceiling. Anyway, so, okay, apart from that humorous statement, well, people think, let's talk about Robin. Of course, you probably know him quite well. So, Robin, probably one of your good buddies. You know, there's a similarity. Anyway, so Robin, what did he try to do? Prabhupada talks about this, although I haven't read about it so much in the Ramayana. Prabhupada said he tried to make a staircase to the heavenly planets. In other words, on his own power, he tried to ascend to the heavenly planets, of course. By the benedictions he got, he was eventually able to get to the heavenly planets, but not by the staircase. And that's very similar to the story in the Bible. Those of you who are Christians will know the story of the Tower of Babel. It's an interesting story. That here's the story. It's very similar. That's where the story came from, the Ramayana, but it later was transformed into something Christian. Once upon a time, the people, they decided to go to heaven by making a staircase. So they made a big staircase, a tower, And they made it bigger, 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 and bigger. And at that time in the world, according to the Bible, they were all speaking the same language. And when they got to the top, or they didn't get to the top, but anyway, as they were building it, they were basically cursed. They all started speaking different languages, and that's why people can't communicate anymore. Of course, that's a metaphorical story. So the whole point of my telling that story is that you cannot achieve God by your own endeavor. But people think by their own endeavor they can accomplish so many things. You really can't. Because to get God or achieve God or become God conscious, you need the mercy of God, and the mercy of God is there in his pure devotee. Because that's bhakti. Bhakti is mercy. Mercy is bhakti. So you need the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you try to do it on your own strength, by your own austerities. And sometimes we find that in people who do all these different austerities we never did when we joined the Hare Krishna movement years ago. The Prabhupada never did. Of course, the Prabhupada understood that the austerity in this day and age was what? Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Kali Kalera Dhamma, Krishna Nama Sankirtan. Krishna Shakti Vinana Hei Tari Vivartana. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kalera Doshan and Hei Rajan Ashjeko Mahadgunad Kirtanadi Vakrishna Shamukta Sangha Paramvajat. Anyway, so the Sankirtan Yajna, or sacrifice, is the austerity that we perform in this day and age. And other austerities are not so significant, like the other day we were talking about Chaturmasya. When Prabhupada saw devotees growing their beards during Chaturmasya, he said, oh, it's Chaturmas, because you look like a mess. Prabhupada considered hair, too much hair, to be messy on one's head like that. Of course, when I joined the movement, I looked like a bear. I had so much hair. My head, face, everything else. Anyway, so Prabhupada called it Chaturmas. So, and then we invent all these austerities, and too much of these austerities make the heart hard, make one proud, and because one is thinking that I am going to be Krishna conscious because I fasted my way back to Godhead. You know, I fasted on this, I did my Purushottama Mass austerities, I did my Chaturmas austerities, I did my Kartik austerities. But Krishna says, Bhakti Mam Abhijanati, Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvataha. In other words, one has to get Krishna's mercy. So that's a type of trying to storm the kingdom of God. Storm the kingdom of God means trying to get to God on your own power. So sometimes when we chant with that mood. I'm going to force myself to hear. I'm going to force, like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But you can't even hear your rounds. What to speak of, enter into the nama ras. And that means the taste of nama, the taste of your rounds, or the taste of the holy name, without Krishna's mercy. So you really have to just let go. That's my realization when chanting. You just have to let go. And not fight. Just let go. Krishna, I'm yours. From this day forward, I'm yours and you're mine, etc. But in other words, I'm yours, Krishna. It's said in the Acharyas say, if you say that one time to Krishna, from this day forward, I'm yours, Krishna takes you away. And you become very happy. So that's the mood of chanting. Not that, Krishna, I'm going to make myself Krishna conscious by chanting nice rounds. Krishna, I'm yours. Help me. I ain't under Tanuja Kinkaram. And also, that means Amanina Amanadena. Same thing as Lord Chaitanya teaches. That one has to be free of false prestige. One of the aspects of false prestige is not simply that I want people to worship me, But I think I am powerful. I am able to do this on my own. So one has to give that concept up. You know, prestige is also an internal thing. A false conception, false ego. You know, I am powerful. I can become Krishna conscious. I'm a good devotee. I can control my senses. I can control my senses. Even Lord Shiva was taught that lesson one time. When Lord Shiva wanted to see Mohini Murti, he thought, you know, I just want to see Mohini Murti. It's going to be quite an interesting exchange or experience or whatever. And as soon as he saw her, he lost it. Or Markandeya Rishi wanted to see Krishna's illusory energy. And then Markandeya Rishi got shocked by what he saw. I mean, there's a whole story in the Bhagavatam about that. So one has to just, like, relax as you're chanting. You know, if you're tense while you're chanting, that indicates you're trying to storm the kingdom of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But instead, you know, relax, let Krishna's name flow through your consciousness. Do you think Haridas Thakur was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? And sometimes, that's one of the reasons I don't chant in the temple room, because we got people sometimes are chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And it's just like, I can't hear if they're chanting like that. And I'm ready to go over and just say, hey, just keep it quiet, buddy. Anyway, so that's the point. Understand that your spirituality, ability to hear, ability to surrender to the holy names is dependent on Krishna. And just relax and just say, Krishna, from this day forward, I'm yours. Take me away. I'm your eternal servant. I nanda tanuja king karam patita mam vishame bhavambudo kripaya tava pada pangaja stita duli sadra sham vichintya. O son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant, yet somehow or other I fall into this horrible ocean of birth and death. Please fix me up and make me or situate me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Make me humble. Make me dance. Trinadapi, Sunuchena. Okay? So, next question. Next, we have written questions here, so. Ratnalekha is asking, Hare Krishna Gurudev, please have my obeisance. I have a personal question. Sometimes devotees accuse you of things you haven't done. What should we do? Should we clear the air or leave it in Krishna's hands? Because sometimes confronting them can make things more complicated. Well, it depends. If it's affecting our service, sometimes we have to defend ourselves. Not to them, but to... But if it's just that someone has said something to us privately, oh, you ate the sweet rice, you stole the sweet rice. Then you just go, who cares? You know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. So you can approach it like that. Or if it's something that's going to impede your service to Krishna, sometimes it's necessary to defend yourself, but don't do it on the internet. That will be the biggest mistake you ever made in your life if you try to defend yourself on the internet. Because then people will pile on top of you and you will be in a situation where you can't defend yourself. Or you get someone else to defend you. When Srivas Thakur was offended and accused of doing something that he never did, guess what? He just said, look, I did it, even though he didn't do it, and everybody knew that he was innocent. And then the person who did it to him, Gopal Chapala, he got leprosy. So it's Krishna's business to punish people who may criticize us. It's not our business to punish them. We should not be absorbed in getting vengeance from others. That's really important. Okay, all right, here's another one. Let's go down to the next question. Whoops. It is said that if you don't have Baba, then serve Krishna through your intelligence and rules and regulations. Please help reconcile this. Just as you just said, don't do anything if you don't feel joyous. That's right. You don't feel joyous. I'm not saying you have to feel like ecstatic. There's a difference between joyous and ecstatic. Ecstatic means you got it made. You're on a high platform of devotional service. But joyous means you're goal-oriented. Like, for example, if you're a businessman and you want to make a lot of money, then you will have to engage in austerities, generally, like my father did to make a lot of money. Now, it's not that he was joyous over the austerities, but he was joyous because of the goal. Because when you're focused on the goal, just like someone who is a Olympic runner, every day you got to pound the pavement. That means exercise for hours and hours and hours. You know, obviously, that person may feel a lot better just sitting on their couch watching TV. But their goal keeps them joyous. You understand? That's why you have to have a goal. We've mentioned this oftentimes before. Whatever you do, you have to have a sankalpa. And when you have a goal, then you use your intelligence, even though the steps towards the goal may be difficult. Just like when I was a brahmachari years and years ago, I was a great brahmachari, a saffron-colored brahmachari. So years and years ago, then we had to take cold showers. I mentioned that the other day. In other words, the cold was freezing, literally, 0 degrees centigrade, 32 degrees Fahrenheit, literally. I'm not just making that up. And it was like needles going into your body. And you couldn't just like turn it on, turn it off. You had to soap up and then turn it on again to wash it, because you don't want to go the whole day with soap on you. So why did I do that? It's not that you, I mean, who likes taking a 32 degree shower? Nobody. I mean, maybe some people like it. Like if you're a Russian member of the Polar Bear Club or something like that. So, but I did it because, and I was joyous. I was numb, but I was joyous. I was joyous because it pleases Krishna. Also, it's a pretty good way of getting you to chant Hare Krishna. Because you better believe when that water hits you, you're saying Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And I was chanting fantastically in those days in the shower like that. So that's because it's goal-oriented. And you like your goal, even though the immediate steps are pretty difficult, then it's happy. You're happy, like someone who's practicing to win the Olympics. They're happy. You have to be happy, or else, I mean, you have to really be happy. Then you control your senses in the meantime. But if you don't have a goal, you are in a mode of ignorancia. What do you want? You got to ask yourself. What is my goal? Where do I want to be at the end of this life? Where do I want to be next year? Where do I want to be 10 years from now? Where do I want to be 30 years from now? You know, so you got to ask yourself that. And based on that, you control your mind with your intelligence. And the mind controls the senses. That's how I think. I mean, for example, I eat a certain diet. You know, what people consider to be a very austere, which is not very austere. But, you know, sure, I would prefer to be eating gallons of sweet rice and halva and pakoras and puris with powdered sugar on them and sandesh and what else? Malpura and Mysore pak. Probably no one here knows what that is. I would love it. And pizza and lasagna and it sounds like Gopal would like that. I would like all those things, but I have a goal. It's not that by giving up pizza, lasagna, pakoras, and sweet rice that you go back to Godhead, but I have a goal to serve Prabhupada. And part of that service to Prabhupada means keeping the machine running. I mean, if I put sweet rice in my car engine, the car's not going to go very far. Right? If I put sugar in the gas tank, actually, it's a way to ruin the gas. Fortunately, if you have an electric car, you can put sugar in it. Anyway, so therefore, I have to put in my gas tank, which is, you know, just like you have a mouth, and you go to a self-service gas station, you put the hose into the tank or whatever it is. Or if you have an electric car, you put the electric plug into the plug in the car. So that's how I look at eating. Of course, I eat prasadam. That's why I only, like, if I go put gas in the car, I always put the best quality gas in the car. It's not that I, so much for that metaphor, it's not that I offer the gas to Krishna before I eat it, before I put him in the car. That would be kind of stupid. So in the same way, I look at eating like that. You know, you fill the tank up. When the tank runs empty, you fill the tank up. Because the purpose of eating is to have energy to serve Krishna. The purpose of eating is not to enjoy my senses, but to serve the, fill the tank up. So when I do that, then I can control my senses. If I understand the purpose, then it becomes joyful. When Radharani meets Krishna next time, okay, I don't need a servant. I have four servants, two arms, two legs. These are my servants. Anyway, so much for that. So thank you very much. We'll see everybody tomorrow night. It's already 11 minutes past the hour. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.